Scripture text taken from Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. Mark 7, verse 6 through 8. Let me read. He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and laying aside the commandment of God. Ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do.
I'd like you to please turn your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7. Verse 6 is our key verse just to start off with. And then we're going to move to verses 21 and 22. But verse 6, just to start off with, in Mark chapter 7. This morning's message is titled, Honoring God. Honoring God. And the Word of God says, He answered and said unto them, Well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Then, so here we have Jesus Christ speaking these words. Now, who is Jesus Christ? He is the living and true God. He is the one who gave us hope. He is the one who the Father sent through a virgin birth to minister on earth, whose blood then was to be shed for the remission of our sins, our dirty, filthy sins. And whose blood was shed, and because he was crucified, he went to the grave, and after 3 days in the grave he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven after his resurrection and sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And how we give thanks that whilst he was alive, these were the words that he did speak, because he had a Pharisee who came to him asking why his disciples were actually eating food without having ceremonially cleansed their hands. You see, sometimes in cultures there are these things which are introduced which really depict the rotten stick of culture. And this was a culture, this was a tradition which was against the law of God. And so the Pharisees would ceremonially clean their hands before they did eat. And so here's this Pharisee, all proud and indignant, went up to Jesus Christ and asked this question. And so Jesus then gives him the answer. The answer to that is not to do with all of the external cleansing, being whited on the outside as a whited sepulchre, but dirty and filthy and stinking within. For it's that which comes out of the heart which is problematic. You look at the title of today's message and it says, Honoring God. Now, I'm going to read you verses 21 and 22 now, and you tell me what is honoring to God about verses 21 and 22. And the Word of God says in verse 21, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Folks, what is honoring about these things? He said, Pastor, you've got the title honoring. Yeah, you'll see what it's for. Verse 22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. What is honoring about this? There is nothing honoring about these things. These are all things that are dishonoring to God. So why then is the title of the message Honoring God? Because these are the people who thought they were honoring God. This is what they thought. We're white and we've cleansed our hands. But Jesus, your disciples didn't clean their hands. And this is the filth that is coming out of their hearts and their mouths, the things that we have read. Does it sound familiar, folks? He who has ears, let him hear. Does it sound familiar? How we give thanks to the living and true God for that which he has provided for us, for the hope that he has given unto us. And so the first point, the main point, the point which has all of the rest of these issues which are mentioned is religion without reality. The Pharisees had a religion without reality. Those who had their churches where the leaders are just riddled with sin, where there is no repentance, there's no humility, it's just evil schemings. They think they are honoring God. And that's what Jesus Christ did mention in verse 6. This people honoreth me with their lips only. With their lips only. As we go through these issues, let's look at the first one. The first one is the evil thoughts. Well, we know that Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is desperately wicked, folks, and we need to be a people who maybe are a little more transparent than what we are. A people who continue to confess our sin before God when we make mistakes. For folks, when we make a mistake, it's not the end. We confess, we repent, and we press on. It's not the end. Yes, there are maybe some sins that will disqualify a person from ministry. But because they are disqualified from ministry, it doesn't mean they can't continue to serve. But in certain areas. For evil thoughts, the heart is evil. These evil schemings and evil thoughts are, as you realize from the nocturnal schemers, they scheme all night. They think about what to do all night. They devise plans all night. They ring each other throughout the night time. And then during the daytime, they implement these evil plans. But I pray, folks, if you're looking at that now, that you do not do, as we're going to look at shortly, that you do not covet it because it looks like a five-star place. Because if we start coveting that, we're finished. We're done. Let us continue to exercise humility. God has a place. But please do not elevate the person who comes up. The person who God has revealed to, where the Far Eastern Bible College will go, may even be sitting in our midst today. When this person or these persons come forward, folks, I pray that you give thanks for them. But do not worship them. Do not put them up above where they ought to be. But give thanks that God has used them. Let's look to the Lord. Trust in him. For when the people favor the rich, it is very problematic. Because these people often call themselves Christians but live lives without repentance. And therein lies the problem. These people have a respect for the rich visitors who come along. The rich, yes, you can come and sit down with us. The poor, no, you can sit at the back. You can stand outside and have a listen if you like. We cannot be a people who treat anybody differently. And look at our founding pastor, the example that he did give of humility, treating everybody the same. He didn't elevate the wealthy, but they did him in. I want you to understand this as well. When it comes to evil scheming, in church history, and please do not misunderstand this, in church history, it has proved time and time again again I say, please don't misunderstand, that when there have been overthrows of pastors, there has generally been either a doctor or a lawyer involved. If you contemplate the situations that have occurred over the period in the past, folks, of church history, you'll actually see that's occurred. Lawyers and doctors in our midst, don't misunderstand me, please. Okay? But pray that your hearts will not be like that, because, folks, history shows it. History shows it, folks. Evil thoughts, please understand that God will judge them. The second one, adulteries. Well, in the Ten Commandments, the Word of God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Folks, these are the people who say that they're honouring God. And Jesus says, they're honouring me with their lips only, because their hearts are full of wickedness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This was reiterated. The Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, reiterated to the next generation that came along. And folks, the next generation as it comes along now has to have things reiterated to them. This is what occurred. So 40 years later in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments were reiterated. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So how come you see some of the leaders in these places who had committed adultery? Some people helped them out, and in the end they put the knife into the person that helped them out. Folks, an evil and a wicked heart. I pray that we may understand the living and true God knows the thoughts that we do have. Let's understand these things. Matthew Henry says, do not commit adultery, for our chastity should be as dear to us as our lives, and we should be as much afraid of that which defiles the body as of that which destroys it. This commandment forbids all acts of uncleanness, with all those fleshly lusts which produce those acts and war against the soul, and all those practices which cherish and excite those fleshly lusts, as looking in order to lust, which Christ tells us is forbidden in this commandment. Matthew 5 and verse 28. We looked at evil thoughts and then adulteries. Folks, there are far too many people who have been ordained as ministers, who are elders in churches, who are leaders in churches, who have been involved in such things with even more dire consequences, but somebody ordained them. Then there's fornications. Fornication is the consensual sexual relationship between two people who are not married to each other. These people think that they're honouring God, but with their lips only. The Apostle Paul mentioned as well that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Repentance, yes, they are forgiven, but certain duties, no, they are disqualified. Then comes murders. Jesus Christ mentions about murders. You're murdering. And please understand as well that he mentions that even hatred, the hatred in a heart, is that which is wrong, because it is the seed which brings about the murder. It's the prohibition of killing. Now, in this country, you have a capital punishment. And do you know what? Capital punishment is theologically correct. You in your laws here, for doing certain things, there will be the death sentence. The people know it. And yet, when they violate these laws, they try every effort they can to get off, knowing that they are violating the laws. Okay? When it comes to the prohibition, that which Singapore does is not wrong. What is wrong is this. There may be some of you who have elderly folks. Some of you may not be able to keep them in your homes. It may be just impossible for you to do that. Some of you may be looking after elderly folks in your homes. Then they will go to an aged care facility. Some people in the aged care facilities are actually there because of the hard-heartedness of the family members, because they don't want to care for this elderly person anymore. What's happening in society, folks? I used to see a society here that cared for its elderly people, that respected its teachers. But then again, the whole world is changing and becoming more depraved as well. If you have placed them in an aged care facility because of your hard heart, you have to answer before God as a result of that. But I tell you what, you don't have the right to do. Nobody has the right to euthanasia, which is mercy killing, which is putting our elderly loved ones to death because they may be in a difficult physical or mental situation. Nobody has the right to that. The Word of God says that such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I pray that you not be responsible for those types of things, for that is murder. We know that homicide is murder as well. We know that it's the killing of a man. Infanticide is the killing of an infant. Aborticide is the killing of a baby within the womb. Folks, the Word of God is very clear that people who are involved in such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is saying, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are wicked. You're whited on the outside as a whited sepulchre, but inside it's filthy and it stinks. Honoring God. Do we honor God, or are we really dishonoring God in the way that we conduct ourselves? In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the Word of God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I sanctified thee in the womb. And I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. There used to be something referred to in the medical fraternity as the Hippocratic Oath. I just wonder whether today it still occurs, or whether it really is the Hippocratic Oath. Please understand these folks, for those who shed innocent blood, God will require their own blood. Please understand as well that the seed of hatred which is in the heart. Then he says thefts. To steal, to break the eighth commandment. The laws given in the Old Testament for restitution were that if an item was stolen and it was eaten, a stolen item was eaten, or it was sold. So if you stole something, you either ate it or you sold it. You had to pay back five times. If it was stolen and it was actually found on the thief, it had to be paid back twofold. If the item was stolen through deception, the principal and it could be restored, the principal had to be restored plus 20%. I pray that we be a people who understand the Word of God and the seriousness of these things. The next one mentioned that Jesus Christ mentioned is covetousness. And I pray that we may be a people who guard our hearts. For when covetousness comes in, it is a wickedness. It is a wickedness which violates which violates society. It's an injustice. It is fraud. It is a violence usually by the who? By the wealthy. You see, the Pharisees were wealthy. And they had control of the people. and they would use people as their puppets. They would defraud people of their properties. They would take their properties, take the properties of people, and then build these big places, these big five-star places, in place of. It is covetousness, and it reeks with materialism. These people say they're honoring God, and it reeks with materialism that they have stolen from somebody else, that they have defrauded, that they have used deceit. And they exercise the root of bitterness towards their fellow men. Micah chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress," that is, defraud, "a man and his house, even a man and his heritage." They take away a heritage from a man. Covetousness. The scheming and inventing of plans to accomplish a sinful desire. And they say they're serving God. They take these things which God has ordained for a specific purpose, and they say what? This is divine invention. Folks, that is evil scheming, and it's the devil that allows these things to occur. It's not of God, folks. It's not of God. Scheming and inventing these things. And do you know what they do? Where did God show us? They inculcate these methods into their families, but they cover themselves completely and make it look as if nothing was ever their fault, that these other people did what they did willingly. They cover their danger and they actually get away with it. This is what the Word of God says. Then there is the wickedness, the six woes, the misguided religious zeal that they do have, totally ignoring love and justice. Folks, don't ignore love. Don't ignore justice. Be a people who love the Lord, who trust in Him. Press on, encouraging one another in the truth of God's Word. For therein lies the blessing for you. Therein lies the honouring of God. For these six woes are placed upon the people in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 41. And it's what was their problem? It was greed. It was wickedness. It was misguided religious zeal. Folks, misguided religious zeal is very, very dangerous. As we proceed quickly, deceit then is that which is mentioned next. It's the catching of the ensnaring, the misleading, the leading another person to believe that which is false, or not to believe what is true. And this is from Webster. "And thus to ensnare him, fraud, fallacy, to cheat, any declaration as such." Hypocrites devise deceit. They practice deceit. They are proud and self-promoting, and they love honour and respectful greetings. Let us be a people who understand that some cultures do place a burden on people, and so do traditions. Let us pray that we not be involved in such a thing. Then there is lasciviousness. And Matthew Henry speaks of lasciviousness as that filthiness and foolish talking which the apostate condemns, the eye full of adultery. The eye full of adultery. Then the evil eye, which is an envious eye, which is a coveting eye, which is a miserly eye as well. In other words, it is when somebody is doing good for you, they actually don't enjoy doing the good for you because they don't like to see you receive the blessing as such. And then in the end, they actually regret showing the hospitality to you that they actually did. It's an evil eye. Then there is the blasphemy as well. And there are word studies that say the word does not necessarily speak of blasphemy against God, but used for reviling, for evil speaking, for malicious misrepresentation. May the Lord strengthen us. And as we look at the last two, pride and foolishness. Pride, as Webster says, is the inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others, insolence, rude treatment of others, loftiness, ostentation. It's exalting themselves in their conceit above others. And finally, foolishness. The fool is described as a person who does not do God's will, and likewise is not concerned about the consequences, but believes what they are doing is doing God's will. Folks, the title of the message today is Honouring God. Was there much honouring as we went through of all these things? This is what Jesus Christ said: "You honour me with your lips, but your hearts are desperately wicked. They are deceitfully wicked." Please understand that these types of things must increase as we look forward to the second coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And how we give thanks for the truth of his word. I'd like to read to you the verse which Jesus Christ was actually quoting from as we do conclude. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. And the word of God says, "Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." May we not be a people who are involved in the externals, cleaning up the outside and having filthiness and wickedness in our hearts, devising plans to pull others down, to destroy others. We have a situation at the moment where we are as David and Goliath. And I give thanks that we are on David's side. That which we look at ahead looks just too gigantic for us as a church. But God will see each one through. And how we give thanks for his goodness. May you continue to uphold the leaders in the church and their families. Please pray for their families. This is a spiritual battle, for we need to understand that God has given us the victory, but we just have to trust him and press on during this period of time. So when the Pharisee came to Jesus, Jesus Christ took the focus away from the externals of cleansing themselves, the externals of rituals of religion, the rituals of religion and culture, and placed the importance upon the necessity of having one's heart cleansed of all evil in the sight of God. And just in this last brief period of time, one of the things that we need to be more concerned about is saving faith than the ungodly and devilish means of saving face. May we be a people who trust God, honour him in all things, and understand that our beloved pastor did mention of six sins, the six falsehoods, being firstly false Christ, secondly false prophets, thirdly false spirit, fourthly false apostles, fifthly false brethren, sixthly false witnesses, and then the seventh. So he mentioned six, but he added a seventh. And if you understand the numerical progression when numbers are actually given in the scriptures, the numerical progression always leads to the last one, which is the most abominable, and the last one that in memory of him, our beloved pastor did mention, was false brethren. false students. May the Lord strengthen us. May we understand the profoundness of the words that our beloved Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh did speak to us over the period of time. May our hearts be honoured, and may you pray for the leaders. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us. We give thanks for the truth of thy word. And pray, Lord, that our hearts may be convicted, even as we do prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper on this occasion. And Lord, we give thanks for the challenges that thy word does give us. May we be a people who continue to love thee, put thee first in all things, and do those things which are pleasing in thy sight, not just by mouth, but by thought, word, and deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.